Hello. Welcome to episode 3 of the iFirst for SMEs podcast. In this podcast series, we continue to explore all things related to the third edition of the iFirst for SMEs accounting standard. I am Dinyiko Denere, a technical staff member at the IASB and part of the team that developed the third edition of the standard, which was issued in late February 2025. Joining me on today's episode is Zach Guest, IASB member with over 20 years of investment experience. Zach brings an SME investor's perspective and has recently become the new chair of the SME Implementation Group. Hi, Zach. It's great to have you on the podcast. To start, can you tell our listeners more about your experience in SME investment and how you used SME financial statements in making investment decisions?
Hi, everyone. Dinyiko, thanks for having me. So I guess before turning to investment and capital markets, I worked in the field of microfinance, which is entirely about funding of SMEs, but usually ones that are too small to be producing any financial statements, unless you're working with some of the largest SMEs. So from that perspective, it was a great way to learn about the costs of asking entities to produce information. In many cases, these businesses couldn't tell you how much they made on each item or even whether they were breaking even. On the other hand, most of the organizations that were providing that financing were entities that would have fallen under the SME umbrella as well. They weren't public deposit taking, but provided funding as a main business activity.
Thank you, Zach. During the second comprehensive review of the IFRS for SMEs accounting standard, users highlighted the importance of information about short-term cash flows, obligations, liquidity and solvency, measurement uncertainty, accounting policy choices, and disaggregation. If you had to highlight one of the areas that was particularly useful to you as a former investor in SMEs, what would it be?
So if I had to choose one of those areas, and I think this came out in the board's discussions over the last few years, I would have to choose liquidity and solvency. So the way I get there is that the primary users of SME financial statements are primarily providers of credit, which is an activity where you accept very limited upside and total downside risk. It's no wonder creditors are conservative. Figuring out the liquidity and solvency piece would have to be the greatest help for them.
Let's now turn to the disclosure requirements in the third edition of the standard. The IASB added disclosures that provide information about an SME's cash flows, obligations, and liquidity and solvency, such as the disclosure of changes in liabilities arising from financing activities in Section 7, Statement of Cash Flows, disclosures about supplier finance arrangements in Section 7, disclosures of a maturity analysis for financial liabilities in Section 11, Financial Instruments, and disclosure of an analysis of the age of trade receivables and other financial assets in Section 11. The IASB developed these disclosures with investor needs very much in mind. Zach, could you explain how these changes aim to improve the usefulness of SME financial statements for investors and other users alike?
Well, I just talked about liquidity and solvency being the primary driver of credit decisions. And if you think about each of these disclosures you just mentioned, they're really about adding essential pieces of the liquidity puzzle. Non-cash changes in supplier finance clarify how the entity is generating cash, while the maturity analysis really explains the liability side of the liquidity equation.
Let's move on now and talk about revenue. The revised revenue section in the third edition of the standard now includes disclosures that help users understand the nature, timing, and uncertainty of revenue. What information do you think users need to know about revenue beyond just being the top line?
Oh, as much as possible. So accrual-based revenue is essential in explaining how an entity makes money over time. But anything that fills in the gaps between cash and accruals is important. Is it point-in-time recognition? Is it taken over time? What are the remaining performance obligations? Revenue is really the most important number for investors when they're forecasted.
And from a user perspective, what advice would you give SMEs as they prepare to transition to the third edition of the standard and more generally about preparing their financial statements?
This latest review of the standard really tackles some of the big changes to IFRS over the last decade. I would really urge SMEs to engage early with the changes to understand some of the core ones, things like revenue and financial instruments, on a more general level, there's a tendency to view financial statement preparation as a compliance exercise. And I found that most SMEs in particular can learn a lot about their own business drivers by being diligent about financial statement preparation and viewing it as a learning opportunity.
Before we wrap up, can I ask you, what are you looking forward to in your new role as the chair of the SME Implementation Group?
Oh, I'm ecstatic about the new role. For me, it feels like a bit of a homecoming, as I was always a bit sad to leave my work with small businesses. They do so very much to drive economies and improve people's lives. And the members of the SMIG committee are technical experts on SME accounting and issues. So getting continue to work closely with them and to contribute to SMEs while absorbing some of the SMIG members' expertise is just an amazingly wonderful opportunity.
Zach, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast today. It has been an absolute pleasure having you. Just a reminder to our listeners, the IASB has issued educational modules and published webcasts to support the standard on the website. Until next time, it's goodbye from us.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please take the time to rate, review, and subscribe on your preferred podcast player. Please contact us on communications@ifrs.org with any questions, comments, or suggestions. You can also sign up for email alerts on our website, ifrs.org, or find us on social media.